The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them and said, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I'm just saying, I think I'm not going to sign up. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? No doubt it's one of the most staggering phrases that ever came out of Jesus' lips, because it doesn't make any sense. Especially with all the attention focused on hate speech today, no one would believe that this is what Jesus could possibly mean. After all, Jesus is meek and mild and gentle, the Jesus who says we must love our enemies, the one Isaiah calls the Prince of Peace, the Jesus who promised the world will know his followers by their love. And yet Jesus is asking us to hate our wife and children and parents. What could he possibly mean by such a contradictory ultimatum? Well, if we take a closer look at the surrounding context, the meaning of his words is as clear and concise as it is radical and revolutionary. Jesus is telling his followers, if you would be a Christian, I must have it all. We may be scandalized by the hate speech, but I suspect in stumbling over Jesus' plain talk, we can miss the real scandal of this text. There will be rivals warring for supremacy over your hearts, but your love for Jesus must defeat everyone. The Gospel of Matthew provides a key to unlock what Jesus means by hate here. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Yes, we are to exhibit deep affections for those we love, but Jesus is saying that we must love them, we must even love them less than we love him, if we would prove to be genuine disciples. And of course, it's also true that if my love for my family and friends is well in direct proportion to my love for Jesus, my love for them will only grow stronger as well. Jesus is using hyperbole to illustrate the steep cost of following him. Any prospective follower must be glad to give up everything, to love him unreservedly, to sell all in order to have him as their highest treasure. Our affections for Christ must be of such an intensity and quality that by comparison all other loves could seem like hate. This is the first of three sobering warnings in today's gospel against making a hasty decision to follow Jesus. A genuine disciple must first love Jesus even more than their earthly family. 2, take up his cross and follow him. 3, be willing to lay down everything, even your life, as you go after him. Jesus illustrates his point with 2 examples. A wise builder won't construct a tower unless he's first made certain he has enough materials to complete it. And a wise king would not go to war unless he knows his army possesses enough firepower to have a fighting chance at beating the enemy. Well, I have never built a tower, but I have renovated 2 churches and a rectory. And we are now in the middle of calculating the cost for a parish hall and a conference center. And I'm sure Jesus is glad that he did not have to include in his calculations the scarcity of materials due to war, pandemic, and inflation. All the same, you should never start what you can't finish. Likewise, it is foolish to fight a losing battle. It's better to settle beforehand. But since most of us are not building towers and fighting wars, I thought of a more accessible metaphor this Labor Day weekend. Let's say you took off an extra day of work on Friday and hopped in the car to go visit friends on Thursday afternoon, friends from college who have rented a house on one of those islands off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina. Things are tight right now financially, so you have to pay attention to how much money you need to save for gas, not only to get there, but to buy gas to get home. It is wise to start on that journey if your oil, it is not wise to start on that journey if your oil life is down to 5% and the temperature light is on as soon as you start the car. Back in the old days, I believe it or not, my brother and I had a 1965 Buick Special. Buick Specials were great cars. It had a 350 horse Wildcat engine in it. You hit the gas and you kind of settled into the seat, like you used to do in those days, not like we do anymore. Anyway, my brother and I had the mechanical knowledge of how to fix it if something went wrong. And we always kept a toolbox in the trunk. Does anybody do that anymore? I don't think so. Things were a lot simpler then. I would probably need to think for a while now about where the thing is to open the hood. In case something happens, you need to arrange for some kind of a plan, roadside assistance, or maybe friends along the way that you can call if you have to. This journey we're on together. Well, a lot of us seem to have our temperature lights lit and we're low on gas a lot of the time already. Sometimes a faith journey is something that we enter into tentatively and hope for the best, keeping our options open. But this is exactly what Jesus is saying is not okay. You must count the cost if you claim the gospel. Jesus wants all of you. I don't mean all of you together as a group. He wants all of you, each of you as an individual. He wants all of you. Following Jesus demands our life, our soul, our all, if we want to be his disciple. Following Jesus may not make your life easier. So many expressions of Christianity promise this today. Is it any wonder that people give up when it doesn't turn out the way they want it to? Following Jesus can divide families. People can be disowned for being baptized. It can involve trouble, even danger, persecution, martyrdom. If you are a person that always wants to be living your best life in the present moment, this may not be for you. But one thing is for certain, if you trust him and give yourself to him completely, you will find him completely true and yourself completely free.